It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
The Gridiron Experts, host of the FF Faceoff. You there, man?
Yes, I'm here. How's it going, guys?
Good, man. Good. Thanks for having the time to jump on with us tonight.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so we're doing the AFC South preview. What we're going to do here is we're going to go down position by position. We'll shout out, run through the ADP for everybody. And then we got some kind of hot topic questions for each position, touching on a lot of the players. And then we'll start first, though, with a non-fantasy question here for the division. And it's, you know, every year this division feels like there's been a new top dog, right, for the last few years. Last year, the Titans kind of ran with it and went all the way to the AFC Championship game. You know, who do you think is coming out of this division on top this year?
You know, really outside of Jacksonville, this division could potentially be wide open with the other teams, but I'm probably going to lean the Houston Texans right now. And okay, we'll talk about them a little bit later. But I'm not going to overreact too much on the loss of DeAndre Hopkins. I actually might like their overall cast of weapons more this year than I did last year.
You are on an island, my friend. I do not feel like a lot of people think that way. And I'm sure we will dig into that a lot as we go through this, so I don't want to spoil anything, but... That is a bold take, I think. AJ, if you had to pick one, who would you pick here?
This year, I think I'm going to lean with Indy. Well, we'll explain more as we go throughout, but I like Indy this year.
Yeah, that's who, honestly, I was leaning. The addition of Rivers makes a huge difference for them. And getting Taylor is going to be awesome for them. You know, getting Mac, you know, keeping him healthy too. So, that's where I was leading to. Anthony, you look like you have something else to say.
No.
Oh, okay. You leaned into the mic like you wanted to say something. It's all good. All good. All right. Well, let's jump right into it here. So we've got quarterbacks, ADP here. Deshaun Watson is QB6. Ryan Tannehill is QB17. Philip Rivers is QB22. And Gardner Minshew, Mr. Mustache himself. I don't know if him and if he can compete with AJ or not here, but QB23. Jumping right in, Deshaun Watson. Start with the top. We've got Deshaun Watson. You know, obviously you don't think it's as big of a deal on, you know, for him losing all the weapons that he did, especially DeAndre, but you know, explain that.
What else did he lose besides DeAndre Hopkins? I know Carlos Hyde is gone, but yes, DeAndre Hopkins is an elite receiver, but they brought in Brandon Cooks, who when healthy, if you think back to the past, he was a 1,000-yard receiver. He just happened to bounce around teams, being acquired for first-round picks. They brought in Randall Cobb, who nearly had 1,000 yards receiving last year as a three in Dallas, I believe 83 total targets. Will Fuller, David Johnson, who in the passing game is a big-time weapon. I think their tight end room as a whole, especially in the red zone, is very underrated. And then you have Duke Johnson. I don't know if there's going to be a dominant player in this offense at the pass catcher position, but I think this is going to be very widespread. It almost reminds me of Russell Wilson in the past when you doubt his weapons, but he keeps performing.
Yeah, you know, I forget who said it, but they were saying that, you know, Deshaun might actually have a better year this year just because the Texans might fall behind. He's going to have to pass a lot. And yeah, that's, I mean, that's a good point. Like, when you doubt him, you know, like, he's gonna perform. But I don't know, man, losing Hopkins is massive. And it, I just, you know, I did knock him down like one or two. It wasn't like I knocked him down like, you know, a whole tier or two.
Yeah, he's at five for me.
Yeah, mine's, I don't have my quarterback rankings up. That would be smart. he's at, yeah, five for me as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's still a very talented quarterback. He's still going to get you yardage on the ground. You know, hopefully the offensive line can play a little bit better this year, not get him sacked as many times. But I think they got to change their offense a little bit here, too. Without Hopkins there, you know, he was that safety net, and he could just be wherever on the field, and Watson can chuck it down the field to him. Now he's got to plan a little bit better, and he does have a lot of weapons there still. You know, they're all very good role players in my mind, but they play the role well. So I think it'll be interesting to see what happens. But moving on to Indy here. So Anthony, do you think Phillip Rivers can somehow finish as a potential QB1? Now, keeping in mind, he was playing under Frank Reich back in the 14 and 15, and he had just under 9,100 yards, 60 touchdowns, 30 interceptions in those two seasons. I mean, that's pretty solid stats for a 2-year period. Interceptions are still a little high, but what do you think about Rivers?
My biggest issue with Rivers is A, I know he's behind an elite offensive line now, but does he have the weapons around him? This isn't Los Angeles Chargers, Keenan Allen and Hunter Henry and those running backs and Mike Williams, a former first round pick. You have a declining and more or less injury prone now with a little nagging injury, T.Y. Hilton. Michael Pittman is an unknown rookie. Zach Pascal, Jack Doyle, Trey Burton, who can't stay on the field, Mo Alley Cox. This is a running team with that backfield. I believe the Colts are going to continue to try to run the football.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think they're going to, I don't think Phillip Rivers is going to be very good for fantasy in the long run. He'll have some games, of course, just like all these QBs will. But in for the most part, his consistency is going to be off. You know, you left out Paris Campbell. I do like him a lot as kind of an up and comer. He had an injury plagued rookie season, unfortunately, but I think that guy's a stud in the making. So, but yeah, I mean, obviously, they have a great offensive line. The running game is going to be massive, and it's just, you know, that's what he's going to do. He'll be okay. You know, he'd be, you know, like a Scott Fishbowl, right? You know, repping the t-shirt tonight. He'll be like a great QB3 if you can grab him. You know, it's just like a bye week flyer or like a couple injury weeks if you have him here and there. So
you know, the Colts were fifth in team run plays per game last year.
Yeah.
Is Phillip Rivers really going to sway that the other way?
No.
At least a 38, 39, however old he is, Phillip Rivers?
No. Very, very unlikely. Spot on right there with what they wanted to do.
I do love Nyheim Hines.
Okay. I mean, he's okay, like a PPR back.
Right, a satellite back.
Yeah.
Well, you can get some production out of them.
Sure. I mean, I don't know. I've learned to kind of hate those, like, you've got to get 5, 6, 7 catches out of those guys to be good type of player. And they're so hard. They're so inconsistent. I just want running backs that are more consistent than that.
Yeah, but you're not going after Hines
as
your third back. I mean,
Of course not.
Shouldn't be, at least.
No. So, all right, let's jump to the next question here, next team. So Ryan Tannehill obviously led this team once they flipped the switch to him from Mariota, led this team to the AFC Championship, had a great, great fantasy season, considering he didn't play all the games. Any chance he does this again and could be that good?
Ugh. He was extremely efficient last year.
Yes.
Like, his efficiency metrics were off the charts. And I think Ryan Tannehill's success is all on Derrick Henry. If they can keep Derrick Henry going, I think Ryan Tannehill can keep going. But if you put it all on Ryan Tannehill, I just don't know if he's that quarterback.
Yeah, I think he's easily a play action type of passer. He relies on the running game being that good around him. And I mean, AJ Brown will too. If it doesn't work, AJ Brown will plummet. So will Tannehill. It's one of the reasons why I'm probably not going to have any of these guys on my team, because people are paying full price for him. Yeah. They're paying the ceiling.
Especially for Brown.
Yes, definitely Brown. We'll get into that one, obviously. But
yeah.
I mean, Ryan Tannehill was the number one quarterback in supporting cast efficiency. And really, what was his supporting cast? Derrick Henry, AJ Brown, Jonnu Smith for a handful of games?
That's it.
Yeah.
There's not much else there. So, you know, this isn't the same Tennessee team that we've seen over the years, where they've got plenty of talent and different places to go with the ball. But Henry was just, he was a beast last year. So we'll dip into him here after our last quarterback here. Mr. Gardner, the maven of the mustache, Minshew. How do you feel that he will perform in year two now that he basically should have free reign as the starting quarterback with Jacksonville?
I am optimistic about Gardner Minshew from a fantasy football perspective. He's a nice late round lottery ticket in Superflex, or like you were saying about Phil Rivers in a Scott Fishbowl type of format. But from an NFL perspective, Jacksonville, clearly, I believe going into last year's draft, you know, the 2020 draft that just happened, they had about 17 picks between the next 2 years. And I think they're in a situation here where you give it all to Gardner Minshew and you see what you have. If he works, then you have your quarterback. If he doesn't work, you're picking in the top five and you can get one of those incoming rookies in 2021. Right.
No, that makes perfect sense. I mean, there's some really good quarterbacks coming in this year. And, you know, if they can land the 1-1, it's obviously Trevor Lawrence, you know, unless something crazy happens like a Tua. So
I don't even know who the backup is. And I'm pretty fluent in depth charts.
Oh,
this is all Gardner Minshew.
It's Cole McDonald, maybe? No, he's Tennessee. I was looking at it the other day. It's another rookie that they drafted, because I was looking at the guy.
Is it a rookie?
One of my dynasty league. Yeah. Unless they had some other.
Mike Glennon. Yes.
Yes. Okay. I was like, I thought I saw somebody else that was.
Well, they have a Jake Luton.
That's who I was thinking of. Luton.
Not him. Yeah, Mike Glennon. So this is all Minshew. He's not going anywhere.
Right, and you have Jay Gruden as the offensive coordinator now. I mean, there could be something here. The receivers aren't terrible. I mean, yeah. Everybody loves DJ Chark. The guy I've been targeting is probably the cheapest one, is Chris Conley, who made plays with Minshew last year, and he's free.
Yeah.
I'm all about late-round value.
Yeah, I mean, the offense is interesting. You know, they had a good stretch of games there with Minshew, and then they, like, I don't know, he sort of, like, declined, and then they switched back, and they were like, nope, never mind, that didn't work, and they went back to Minshew. And just, I mean, I'd be interested to see what happens with all the new faces, especially, you know, like you said, Jay Gruden there as offensive coordinator, see how different this offense will be. But I'm not really targeting him in many leagues, Minshew, that is. So, all right, let's move on here to some running backs. Rip through the ADP here. Derrick Henry starts with RB6. Leonard Fournette's RB14. Jonathan Taylor, RB22. David Johnson, RB24. Marlon Mack, 32. Duke Johnson, 49. And your boy Nyheim Hines comes in at RB51. Start here with Derrick Henry. Obviously, we know how good he was last year, especially ripping through the playoffs. You know, he basically made Deion Lewis completely worthless. They did just did not use him. But that meant a heavy workload for a second year in a row. Can he do it again for a third year? And, like, you know, maybe should we be expecting a top three finish out of him if he can do it for a third year like that?
I think he can do it for a third straight year. Derrick Henry kind of reminds me of when you're talking about wear and tear and that type of dominance, almost like an Earl Campbell, where he dominated for a good number of years, but he had a shortened career. If they keep giving the ball to Derrick Henry like this, we could see that. He's that type of back. But a top three finish, maybe in standard, but who plays in standard leagues anymore? Derrick Henry is a complete empty in a passing game, and I think that limits his ceiling in any type of PPR scoring format. So, no, maybe top five, top six again, but top three, not when you have a Zeke and McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, I can get on board with that. I top three was a little high there, but made the question more fun.
Yeah. So. All right. So the next guy we got here, going back to Jacksonville. You know, last year we saw just how valuable Fournette could be out of the backfield, out in open space. But a lot of people seem to be jumping off of his bandwagon as a receiving back, or just looking at straight regression right there. Are you buying those catches and that ability, you know, as another facet of his game is legit, or are you just punting into the regression zone as well?
Well, here's what I'm buying in terms of his, you know, his reception total and target total last year. Jacksonville's defense was bad. Gardner Minshew had to check the ball down a lot. What are we going to look at this year? That defense is probably going to be worse. They're completely rebuilding. They're going to be playing in garbage time a lot. So do I expect those numbers to come down? Yes, but I don't think they're going to completely plummet. You know, it took Ezekiel Elliott 2 or 3 years before he really flashed as a receiver, 2 seasons ago. And last year he kind of came back down to earth, but he wasn't complete. You know, he had more of a middle ground, and that's what I see from Fournette right now. But what I love about Leonard Fournette, this is why I can't quit the guy. You know he has a rushing floor.
Yes.
You know he's going to be that workhorse. He's a three-down back.
Yeah.
I know they brought in Chris Thompson, but this is Leonard Fournette's backfield.
Yeah, and it's a contract year, too. I mean, it's basically already known that he's not staying in Jacksonville. So he's playing for that next contract, and I think he's going to have a good season. I agree. I think that they're going to drop off a little bit, especially with Thompson there and him being kind of that, you know, specialty, just straight up receiving back. He's not a running back traditionally. So I could see him, you know, sniping some of those receptions, but I still think he's going to be good.
Even if those target totals and the receiving production, even if it does regress, he only had 3 total touchdowns last year, so we will see a positive regression there, and it kind of makes it's a wash. So I don't know why people are fading Leonard Fournette the way they are.
Yeah, I think there's 2 trains of thought here, and you hit on one of them where, like, the touchdown regression is coming positively, right? And so even if he goes 60% of his catches, like, he'll make that up and maybe even then some. Some aren't quite sure he's going to make it up all the way, but still, not a huge loss there. The other thinking is that, like, they drafted Chenault, they got Chris Thompson, the receptions could drop so dramatically that it's almost impossible to make up the touchdowns. And then the other thing that I was just thinking of is that, you know, AJ, you brought up the contract year, and this could be good news or bad news for him. The Jags could just run him wild because they're like, we don't want him next year. We're just going to kill his legs. And, you know, yeah, he'll go get paid somewhere else, but it won't be our money. But he'll be awesome for them. Yeah, I like taking a chance on Fournette, especially where he's going right now. I love his value right now.
How many games are we going to get out of Thompson?
That's a good question. As a Redskins fan, you what, 7? 8?
I mean, he's unbelievable when he plays.
He's so good. Yeah. And Jay Gruden loves him.
I'm a Cowboys fan. I know. He's killed us in the past.
The other guy that's kind of interesting, and they've already said this year, like, they're going to use him kind of all over the place, is Chenault. Like, they're going to give him sweeps, and they're going to give him dump downs, little screen passes. Like, that's work away from both Thompson and Fournette, where those were going to Fournette last year. Not the sweeps, but, you know, like, those types of, like, here, I just need to do something different with the ball and dump it down. That's where the extra worry comes from. I think when it was just Thompson, people were kind of like, okay, whatever. But then you add a Chenault to it, and I was like, oh, okay, well, that's just another weapon that you might have to worry about. So yeah. I get the fear, but I'm not completely selling him at this point.
So. All right. What we got next?
So yeah, next guy here, going over to Houston again. Got David Johnson. I mean, oh boy, he was a mess last year for Arizona. I mean, he looked like an old man carrying a piano on his back at times. It was bad. You know, I'm just going to read the question that AJ wrote. It's funny. You know, so they traded for David Johnson. Seemed like an even bigger Bill O'Brien thing to do than maybe even B.O.B.'s. What, AJ? That doesn't make any sense.
Thought possible. Sorry.
Okay. I scratched my. I'm going to retract all of that. Anyway.
Do you want me to take this one?
No, I got it now. Anyway, let's go back to that. David Johnson looked horrible last year. I mean, like, what? Obviously, B.O.B. sees something out of him. Like, what, if anything, are we going to get out of him? Besides the leg carries.
Some people are completely buying into David Johnson. And I was buying in once his ADP was like a round earlier, but now he's going one pick behind Fournette, you know, RB 17, Fournette's RB 16 in PPR scoring formats, and then Melvin Gordon's going behind him. I get the optimism and the ceiling of David Johnson, but I think it's a little bit more than, okay, Cliff Kingsbury and David Johnson, for whatever reason, that they didn't mix. He didn't work in the offense. That's fine. But David Johnson, this lower body, these small injuries, the back, the ankle, he had the wrist a couple of years ago. He just doesn't look the same. Something's off with David Johnson.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. Yeah, I don't know. AJ, what do you think here?
I mean, I want to believe in David Johnson, but I don't think I can. I want to say that I had him as a keeper in my home league, and I picked him out, you know, the year that he started blowing up, or the year before that. I picked him up as a free agent, so I had him super late the following year, and it was like, okay, this is great. He blew up and, you know, was awesome. Buying into it the next year, and it just fell off. So I don't know. Until I see something positive out of him and that he can, you know, run a 5-yard gain without looking like Grandpa Simpson trying to find a flying dollar bill on a string, then I think that I'm just going to let everyone else jump on him for my drafts.
This wasn't a one-year deal last year where David Johnson just didn't look right. Back in 2018, he played in 16 games. He was the 57th back in true yards per carry and 42nd in yards per touch. So this is a two-year sample size where these efficiency numbers are down, and he just doesn't have that explosiveness, the elusiveness. Something's missing.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's funny because you would think that that last injury that he had, where it was like the hand, like, wasn't going to be the Achilles heel, but it somehow was. It's very odd. So,
you know, two straight years back strains in 2018 and 2019, high ankle sprain last year. So now, you know, earlier in his career, it was the shoulder and the wrist. Now it's starting to become the wear and tear in the lower body and the back. And the back is very concerning for me.
Yeah. As soon as you get those back injuries, you're done. I mean, you're not going to return from that. So, you know, at least not to be what you were. Same thing goes with, everything, you know, in just in general life, if you have back injuries, it's debilitating. So having to get hit for a living doesn't help that. So flip it back in here to Mr. Jonathan Taylor. We've talked about him a little bit. I mean, he's basically already been given the keys to the Indy backfield. You and I, Anthony, both like Nyheim Hines. He seems to be this main receiving threat out of that backfield. So what's the deal with Marlon Mack and his relevance? Are we selling him as a, you know, at all relevant player in this offense?
I'm not completely out on Marlon Mack yet, especially with a seventh or now an eighth round ADP. I get all the Jonathan Taylor hype, but what's concerning to me is they cut two preseason games. There's the virtual workouts. There was no rookie mini camp. And then coming in, I think he had a fumble once every 52.9 touches in college.
Yeah.
This is the NFL. That's not going to keep him on the field.
Yeah.
The rush, the running talent is there, but yeah, ball control is huge.
Yeah, I like trying to get on board with Mac as a late flyer. Well, not late, but later than where he would be if they didn't draft Jonathan Taylor, obviously.
You know, neither Taylor or Mac are known for their receiving ability either, which makes me, you know, if I need a running back in that 12th round, and somebody tweeted on the post about tonight's show about my tweet about Nyheim Hines and Boston Scott and Chase Edmonds. Was it Presto?
Yeah, John Presto was bringing it up.
One of our staff writers. So, yeah, I mean, out of that group, I like Boston Scott. I think he's an injury away from being the guy. And we saw even with Sanders there at the end of the year that, you know, he got a lot of love. And I think that's he was good those last few games, man.
So he was awesome.
Fantastic. I liked him. I liked him a couple of years ago in Arizona. And then obviously just wasn't used. And, you know, you had to kind of ignore him. But I still like Scott's talent. And it showed last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Scott over Hines, and then Edmonds, and then the last one's Duke Johnson.
Yeah, that's about right.
My same order there, yeah.
So, all right, man. Well, we're going to jump into wide receivers soon, but you hear we got a few special shows where we're giving away 4 footballguys.com subscriptions, awesome. One each week. And so the contest this week was give us a bad take, so a bad fantasy football take, a bad bold call, just something funny, right? If it needed to be. And this week's winner is Rob Harkey. He wrote Antonio Brown enters week 9 as wide receiver 5 with Pittsburgh. At halftime, AB demands 10 targets in the second half or else. Big Ben recreates Peyton Manning's Saturday Night Live skit and bullies AB with hard targets to the back. AB is replaced with Dez Bryant, who helps them to the playoffs. I mean, wow. Totally ridiculous. you gotta love the
creativity.
Creativity out of the league players coming.
I know, right? This is so funny. So, Rob, if you're listening, I will be DMing you soon. To get your email, and I will pass it along to the guys over at Football Guys, and they will set you up with a subscription. Congratulations, man. And for those who entered this week and did not win, there will be 2 more weeks of this. So keep looking on my Twitter for the next competition for it. So, all right, let's move on here to wide receivers. There's a lot of them in this division, man. A lot of interesting guys. So start A.J. Brown, as we already mentioned. A.J. Brown, wide receiver 15, T.Y. 20, D.J. Shark 26, Will Fuller 35, Brandon Cooks 36, Michael Pittman. Then it's a big drop-off, but there's a lot of guys that are interesting in this tier, I feel like. So Pittman is 66, D.D. Westbrook is 68, Corey Davis is 73, Paris Campbell 74, Kenny Stills 76, Randall Cobb 77, and Chenault at 79. So jump right in here. AJ Brown right off the top finished a wide receiver 10 last year. We already kind of mentioned about how just crazy efficient this team was. especially the play action pass. Corey Davis remained about as useful as Bill O'Brien's waiver transactions. So good line there, AJ. I'll give you credit for that one.
You're welcome.
So do you smell regression or kind of more of the same success for AJ Brown this year?
I'm on the fence with AJ Brown. And he's a player, depending on how I'm constructing my team, is going to be how I'm drafting him. If I have a wide receiver already and I'm coming up a few rounds later in the fourth, maybe I take a shot on A.J. Brown for a ceiling. But if I go maybe two running backs and a tight end and I need my first wide receiver, I just can't trust. I don't trust his stability. And it's not because of the efficiency. The efficiency, as we had said, was there. Third in yards reception, second yards per target, second in yards per route run, but only 84 targets, 5.2 targets per game. And volume is extremely concerning, especially for a wide receiver one on a team who is 30th in team pass plays per game.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you there. I think he's like the ultimate best ball guy that you would like take early because he's going to have these enormous games. But he's going to have these down games too, because there's just going to be games where they're just going to get ahead and they don't need to pass. They're just going to rely on Derrick Henry to just run the rock constantly. So AJ, yeah. I don't have anything different.
You had only 5 red zone receptions.
He didn't need them last year. Right. It's crazy. So many big plays.
Yeah. No, I mean, I still think he'll be good. I don't know if I'm 100% buying, you know, top 10 again. Definitely top 15 for me, though. So not that far of a drop off. So move on with the initials here. Mr. T.Y. Hilton. I mean, to me, it's a little shocking, but he's still seen as the top receiving option in Indy. He's definitely dealt with various injuries that have, you know, for lack of a better term, hurt his overall production. With a shift to youth in the Colts receiving core, are you still targeting Hilton at all, or do you like, you know, one or all of his teammates better?
I don't trust T.Y. Hilton at this point in his career. We saw it a couple of years ago when he was banged up and he played a good 8 games to finish out the year with an injury last year. I think he missed some time. Yeah, he missed 6 games last year, 2 games in 2018, and he's only getting older. I think he has something left. But just because Phillip Rivers comes along doesn't mean that he's going to have a Keenan Allen type of season.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's still still only 30, but he's been in the league, it seems like,
forever. He looks like an old 30. He's like an old 30.
He does.
It's a lot of soft tissue, a lot of hamstring injuries and things like that. And, like, it's for one who, you know, kind of I did not play sports nearly to the level they are, but I've played a lot of sports competitively. With hamstring issues, they really never go away, man. Like, at least for me, they didn't. You know, they just kind of kept reoccurring. They'd get healthy, and then I'd go back out there, and boom, they happen again. It's just, I don't know, for whatever reason, maybe I just don't know how to stretch, but maybe T.Y. doesn't either. It's just one of those things, man. But I'm hoping that, like, these young guys can come up and take some pressure off of him. You know, a lot of people like Pittman, a lot of people like Paris Campbell. You know, maybe Doyle can finally stay healthy. And again, I don't think the passing game is going to be anything crazy this year, as we've kind of already said. But T.Y. is a guy that can take the top off the ball too. So
yeah. I have a question for you guys.
Sure.
Going almost a full round later is A.J. Green, another 30-something-year-old receiver, injury concerns. Which one are you going?
That's an interesting one.
It's another set of initials. This one, second AJ that we're talking about. So I feel like I have to be swayed to go with him. He's a year older. Granted, he missed all of last season. And looking at the stats, I mean, he's only got 2 years out of his 8. It looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, out of the last 8 years for him, he's got only two that were, you know, not 1,000-yard seasons. I think I like Green. I think he might be a little more rejuvenated with Burrow coming in. You know, I want to see him play and be able to, you know, make some cuts, make some solid routes, and just be back on the field. But I like his upside, I think, a little bit better.
Yeah, I think Green's ceiling is higher, but I think Hilton's a little safer. And so I would, at this point, I'd go T.Y. if I had to choose between the two. But you look at Green, like, you forget looking at his stats. And I did it a couple of shows ago. I was looking at it, and like, I was thinking, like, oh, yeah, he's only not played the full seasons two of the last 3-4 years. Oh, no, it's actually 3 of the last 5 because he didn't even play in 2019. and then 2018, it was 9 games. In 2016, it was 10 games. And then the season before that, it was 13. It was like every other year for a while. And now it's been 2 straight years where he's like, it's basically missed a season and a half. So it's not looking good for A.J. Green. You know, rookie quarterback is not something I'm loving for an aging, already injured receiver to have to deal with, especially with an off season like we're going to have. So that would be the reason why I would go T.Y. over him. I mean, Phil Herbert will figure it out, right? At least a little bit.
Yeah. Much better offensive line for Phil Rivers.
Yes, that too. That's a good point. So, yep. All right, let's jump to the next question here for receivers here. So the loss of DeAndre Hopkins, you know, left this receiving group with a bunch of injury prone, aging, you know, question mark type of players. I mean, with Houston, like, do you really plan on owning any of these guys? I mean, to me, they're all super risky.
Yeah, their wide receiver room, like I was talking a little bit earlier, we were talking about Deshaun Watson. A lot of question marks, and it's more so injuries with Brandon Cooks and the concussions and Will Fuller and everything he deals with. Even Randall Cobb gets nicked up. Yep. Kenny Stills has a history. So it's more or less, I'm not going to overpay, but it's I'm going to treat Houston almost like I treat Green Bay ever since Jordy left. And you just take the cheapest one, almost like the New England backfield.
Yeah.
If you're going to own a piece of it, get the cheapest one.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Not a bad, I mean, so I guess you're going a lot of Stills probably, or Cobb. Stills or Cobb are probably the two cheapest,
Cobb,
right?
Yeah, Cobb.
Yeah.
Stills, I can pass on Stills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Cobb. Cobb, always been I've always been a fan of Cobb's game.
Yeah, I mean, and you look at what he did in Green Bay, too. I mean, obviously the most successful years of his career, but then he went to Dallas, and he had some really, really good games there. He's just, he has a knack of finding a spot on the field to be open and get the ball. And it's just, Deshaun's going to be looking for that spot now. Like I was saying earlier, he had that with Hopkins before. I think that's a perfect role for Cobb to fit in, you know, aside from just being a quality receiver. And you're getting him for nothing this year.
You know, has Deshaun Watson ever really had a reliable slot receiver?
I don't think so.
It makes Cobb that much more intriguing. I think does. Ellington, Bruce Ellington, was the best one.
Ellington, but I wonder if he'll like decent. Use him in that role. We don't know yet. That's the thing. Like, we don't know if he wants to, if they want to, you know, play an offense at all around a slot receiver. So we'll see. You know, obviously they like David Johnson and Duke Johnson to be that kind of dump down guy. Maybe that takes away from Cobb. So that's something you got to consider with them. So, all right, AJ. Take it away.
So last guy here, last set of initials on the board, DJ Chark finished as wide receiver 16 for, again, a very bad Jacksonville team. Are you looking at his, you know, 1,000 yards, 8 TDs, more of a product of his actual talent or product of that Jacksonville team having to play from behind more often than not, throwing the ball a lot more? I mean, what do you expect out of Shark this year?
I think the answer to that question could be, you know, a little bit of both. You know, because Chark wasn't even a blip on the radar in his rookie year. And that happens with a lot of wide receivers. And then year two, he all of a sudden just emerges. His price point isn't terrible. You don't really have to overpay for a DJ Chark. He's going with the 10th pick in the fifth round, which is fine for me. And again, really bad defense. He already has a rapport with Gardner Minshew. So, yeah, I'm kind of bullish on DJ Chark.
Yeah, me too. I like the fact that Minshew is the guy this year, because him and Minshew really did good things last year. Right now, I've got a wide receiver 22, and I feel like that's too low. Like I should probably move him up. These are early rankings still at this point, but it's just one of those. I kind of look back at it going like, what did I do? Like it just seems like he should be much higher.
The receiver position is incredibly deep. I don't know if I've ever seen it this deep. You know, I can put six players who missed my top 24 in my top 24.
Yeah, no, there's a ton of guys. I mean, even there's tons of guys below him that I'm like, well, no, I want to move him up. And like, I could talk myself into any of these guys. It feels like between like 10 and 40, almost. It feels like I could talk myself into any of these guys being within that range. They're all, that's a little exaggeration, but you get the point. You know, it's just, yeah. They're all going to have really good seasons. It is super deep. And one of the reasons why I'm probably waiting on receiver this year more than I ever have.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you just have to. So
100% waiting on it. I mean, especially in fish.
With all the crazy score you've got to there.
Yeah.
So, all right. Finish things off here with some tight end. Not a lot of high ADP guys. In fact, we got a bunch of undrafted guys who could make some noise. But Jonnu Smith leads away with tight end 17. Doyle's right behind him at 19. We drop all the way to Trey Burton at 37. And then a bunch of undrafted guys, really. Tyler Eifert, Jordan Akins, and Darren Fells. Jonnu Smith is obviously the name to look at here and really follow. You know, Delanie Walker's finally gone. Jonnu Smith kind of showed some life there at the end of last season. Are we buying into him being a tight end, top 15 tight end, maybe better?
Jonnu Smith is tough because there's a lot of reasons to buy into him. Like we noted before, the lack of weapons in Tennessee, but to kind of counteract that, they also don't throw the ball a ton.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jonnu Smith had 31 targets last year, and I know Delanie Walker was there for some of it, but even going back to, 2018, and Walker, I believe, was out most of that year, Jonnu had 31 targets in 12 games. So if that's going to be, is volume going to be that much of a concern?
Yeah.
My question with Jonnu Smith.
Yeah. I mean, volume is a thing for that entire Tennessee, passing game. But I want to say, and look at the game logs right now, his last few games was pretty good. He scored a couple touchdowns week 13, week 15, didn't play week 16 game 16 for him, week 17 for him. So week 14 and 16, he scored a touchdown. But yeah, I mean, the volume's not really there. I mean, it's 2, 4, 5, 4 targets. He just catches a lot of them. And that, if he scores, he scores. It's awesome. But again,
they use a lot of tight ends too.
They do. And so that's the thing. And so like in the you're talking about, they don't really have a red zone guy. They don't use AJ Brown. So Jonnu Smith is kind of their guy. I wonder if he could be a sneaky, like, he's going to score like 6-7 touchdowns. Maybe it's going to be off like 50 receptions, but he's going to score like, 6-7 touchdowns, and he's going to be a tight end 10. It's going to be crazy.
Well, that would almost be like the season that Jared Cook had last year.
Right.
Jared Cook had just maybe, 65 or 67 targets. But he scored a lot, was highly efficient, and then a guy like Evan Engram out-targeted him in 8 games.
Yeah. So it's all about what you want from your tight end. Like, if you want that, like, reliable, consistent scoring outside of the top three or four. Obviously, you know, Ingram's good because he's going to get you a ton of targets. But if you're going for like weekly upside and it's going to be inconsistent, like he's a guy to look at, especially if you just kind of want to punt the position.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of guys that you can look at late and just punt the position. The next guy that we have on the list here, Jack Doyle. I mean, he's obviously got talent and he's been used to working in a two tight end set in Indy and had success doing so. I mean, is there any like worry with you as far as the reuniting of Frank Reich and Trey Burton and the Philly, you know, having some kind of ability to hurt Doyle's chances as a random sleeper tight end one?
I was a big Trey Burton guy. I liked him in Philly because if Zach Ertz would go down, I think one of you guys are an Eagles fan, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He had a couple of nice games in Philly. Then he goes over Chicago, yep. Looked like the real deal, and then he kind of fell off the face of the earth. But I think Jack Doyle should be the guy here, at least in between the 20s in this offense, like he's been for years. This is a player at triple-digit targets a couple of years ago with Jacoby Brissett, only 72 last year. But when you have a Phillip Rivers coming in, he's had a historic career throwing to outstanding tight ends with Gates and Hunter Henry. I think this could really help Jack Doyle, and I don't exactly trust, like I said, the wide receiver room in Indianapolis.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I like Doyle, again, as definitely a really, really late flyer. I love Burton for obvious reasons, and I was really excited for him to go to Chicago. I was sad to see him go. But
too many dynasty shares of Trey Burton because of that.
Yeah. I mean, and he...
Give me
he
both.
Killed it. I mean, I killed teams, you know, who owned him. That's what I mean by that. And I don't know. I'm hoping that there is some rejuvenation with his career because he's still on the younger side. I think he's got the talent and he can step up, and he's going to be somebody reliable. So I like his upside, but I'll probably be leaving him out of my draft rooms at least for now.
Yeah, Doyle's a guy I've kind of always liked. Just because he gets a ton of attention in that offense, but we know that Rivers likes throwing to his tight ends too. So Doyle's a sneaky late pick there, or especially like somebody you want to keep an eye on waiver wires because I don't think he's going to get drafted in many places. But yeah,
what about Mo Alie-Cox?
Dude, I can't get on board. Every time he gets a chance, he doesn't really do anything. Like I don't know, You know, everybody seems to like it every time, you know, all the tight ends in that offense are gone. Everybody's like, well, Mo Alie-Cox time. It's like, but he doesn't do anything. So I'm kind of over him. Am I crazy?
I mean, you know, the beat writers are suggesting from Indianapolis that Mo Alie-Cox, they like him a lot. He's a former basketball player, and they like him as a run blocker and a pass catcher. They actually think he could out snap Trey Burton, and again we both like Trey Burton here.
Yeah, I mean he's a big dude, 6'5", 267. He's only 26 years old, so he's definitely got size and age on his side. I think it depends on how the preseason goes with whether or not he's going to get any kind of reps in there with Rivers to try to get some sort of, back and forth with him.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at his target share the last two seasons. It's 13 and 11.
Right.
Like he's going to have to prove it to me before I buy into this at all. Even in tight end premium leagues, just no thanks. So it's an interesting name to keep an eye on because he's always gotten a little bit of love. The coaches seem to love him, but it just never seems to work. But all right, man. So that's actually it
for the regular agenda, but Anthony, if you don't mind hanging out for a few more minutes, I want to talk some Scott Fishbowl with you, man. I know you're in the tournament. I am repping the shirt. You know, I got my G.I. Joe shirt. Of course I had to pick this one.
I got the same one. I got and I got the sitting right over there. I forgot.
Lego Transformer.
Oh, yeah, Transformer.
Yeah, I was gonna get that one, man. But honestly, because that's my favorite. That was my favorite cartoon out of all of them that they made the shirts out of. But it's hard to see the Scott Fishbowl logo out of it. It's, you know, it's just a, it just looks like a Transformer shirt. But it's whatever. They're all good, man. Rotoware does great work with these shirts, man. Last year's was fantastic with the video game ones. I was stoked to get all of those. But all right, so what division are you in, man? You're in
wrestling figures.
Yeah, that nice. is a stacked division. And funny enough, you've got an actual wrestler in it, right?
Eric Young from the WWE.
That's awesome.
Nice.
That's so funny.
That's phenomenal.
So this year's scoring, obviously, a little bit different than last year's. It always is. The biggest difference is, and we've talked about this on past shows, just to catch everybody up who hasn't heard it before, the biggest difference is quarterbacks. They added negative points for sacks. They added completion and incompletion points. So basically, I think I figured out that you have to have at least like a 66% completion percentage to break even every week. So huge difference for the quarterbacks. And so, you know, guys like Jameis Winston, who were massive, you know, good last year, just because they just racked up all the touchdowns, aren't going to quite do that because they're going to get sacked a bunch. You know, the completion percentage isn't good type of thing. So what's your strategy going into it this year? You know, if you don't want to give too much away, don't. But, you know, just kind of general stuff. Like, what are you thinking?
You know, I've done a few mocks, just wrapped one up on the FF Faceoff where we had 10 other people drafting from their exact spots. And I really liked how my team came out. I want a guy, I think, picking up from the 1.8. I want Dak. I think I'm going to go after a quarterback unless a big-time running back falls to me.
So who would be the big-time running backs that would have to fall for you to take them over?
Probably Dak? A Kamara.
Okay, Kamara, so is like RB 4 or 5 at this point.
Kamara or Zeke.
It's obviously CMC 1. But Barkley two, Zeke.
Yeah.
You can flip flop those two, and then Kamara's 4. That's your thought. So yeah. you'd have to get somebody taking a wide receiver early, which
Michael Thomas could go before that.
Yeah, a couple more quarterbacks. You'd have to get somebody taking like a Kyler or possibly the Breeze that we had some initial talks about before the show that I think is going to be good in this format. Yeah, that'd be interesting. It could. I mean, somebody could very easily take Dak in front of you. Honestly, I've seen it happen in mocks. I've seen mocks where Dak goes like 6, 5, even. Like, people just want their quarterbacks in this format because it's super flex.
I know, you know, you just brought up Drew Brees and his efficiency and the completion percentage in this format. He had 34.4 attempts per game last year. He led the league in completion percentage. But you can't just over-focus on completion percentage because the number two would be a Derek Carr. 3, Tannehill, 4, Garoppolo, and Cousins.
I get that.
So don't overthink it. Like, Drew Brees obviously gets that monster bump, but the next top quarterback was number 6 in completion percentage, and that's Deshaun Watson. So I'm not gonna just, you know, drive a Derek Carr and Tannehill and reach for these guys.
No, yeah, I think it's if they get to this certain point with the completion percentage, that's good. But then they're going to have games where maybe their completion percentage is under that threshold by, you know, a few percentage or whatever, but they could have 5 touchdowns in the game. You know, there's going to be, you know, ebbs and flows with it, I think. So I don't know. I'm at the 1-2, and the chat room I'm in on Twitter is super, super active.
I'm at 1-3.
We have just people are going back, and it's like the same argument, like back and forth, like do we want Saquon, do we want CMC if he's fallen, are we just gonna sit with Mahomes or Lamar? And it's basically really those are the main four guys that everybody's looking at, and everybody talks about it every morning. It starts off, okay, well today we're gonna talk about this again, who's liking this, that, and the other thing. I don't know where I'm gonna go yet. I change my mind there every day. And so Zeke's been thrown in there too.
Yeah. So the one thing I'll say about Breeze is if you go look at my fantasy league, right? And then you can look at last year's stats, and I get it, it's the last year, right? But you gotta take that into some consideration. Drew Breeze's average points per game was second for quarterbacks, second overall, obviously. No, that's not true. This is overall. This is just quarterbacks, but it's second for quarterbacks. Lamar was obviously number one at 32. Breeze was two at 27. The next best quarterback was Mahomes at 22. In this scoring format, Drew Breeze is incredible. So he vaults over a lot of guys, in my opinion. He's right up there. And I don't have any issues with you taking Dak over him, but I think they're neck and neck. That's where he goes. That's where he should go. In normal leagues, I think he goes behind, you know, the Watsons and stuff like that too. He drops a couple more. But in this format, he gets a big boost.
Yeah, I did see that.
I was shocked when I saw. I knew, like, as soon as I saw the score, I'm like, Drew Brees is gonna be really good in this format.
What's the earliest anybody has seen him go in a mock?
I think somebody said in my Twitter chat that they saw him go. I think it was like 110. I've got a couple of guys, I'm not gonna give names, who have earlier picks than that are talking about taking him because they know how good he is in this format. So don't be surprised if we see some Drew Brees going at like 5 or 6. And I would not bat an eye at it. He's that good. He's so safe. There was a chart that somebody shared in my Twitter group where they listed all last year's quarterbacks, and there was a min, a max, like a standard deviation, you know, total points. The number of quarterbacks who had negative weeks was staggering. The only quarterbacks that didn't were Lamar and Mahomes.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, holy. And you know, the one that Breeze was hurt on was his negative game. So, like, what do you do about that one, right? But, like, it's incredible how unsafe all the quarterbacks get really quickly in this format. So if you have an early pick, getting a really good safe quarterback, I feel like it's going to help out a lot. It's the only, I usually wait on quarterbacks in Scott Fishbowl, despite it being super flex. I'll usually grab like a, you know, I'll grab with like two tier two quarterbacks and just be okay with it. And it's worked out. I've gotten to the conference finals every single year. Haven't gotten to the finals, but you know, that's not too bad. I feel like,
no, absolutely not. I would love that.
Last year, you know, I would have taken like I think I took Watson kind of early, and then I took like, I forget who my quarterback two was, but it wasn't anybody pretty, and it just works for me. So
what about like a Stafford-Daniel Jones combination?
I don't hate that. I do like Stafford in this format. I mean, really, in this year in general, I like Stafford.
Me too.
I mean, he's going to, you look at what he was doing last year before he got hurt, and he was outstanding. So again, it's something you got to keep in mind with the injury, but I mean, I'd like Stafford, and I've taken him in a couple of my mocks. I think the one that you and I are in, Joe, I got,
yep, you did.
I got hosed with a, my second pick. I took I haven't been able to get into my actual draft slot, so I got the 1-1. So I took CMC, and then it gave me D-Hop as a pre-draft or something because the other guy that I had went right before. So I just doubled up and took Murray and then stacked them, and then the next two picks I stacked Galladay and Stafford. So I kind of like the way this team has turned out. My running backs are a little weak after CMC, but you know, Ingram and then Damian Williams, and then Tarik Cohen and Marlon Mack. So, I mean, depending on how those guys turn out, it could be an okay team, you know, on paper. But either way,
I've been looking at a bunch of people's mocks and like looking at the results, and then, you know, watching ours, obviously, AJ, because we just happen to be the same mock. One of the ones that Ryan is running. I am probably not drafting, unless somebody crazy falls, I'm probably not drafting a receiver until, would that be round 5? Because I'm probably going to quarterbacks fairly early. I'm probably going to running backs in those other two rounds.
Yeah,
and then maybe receiver. I might even wait one more. What did I do in mine? In ours? I don't even remember now. I'm looking at it. I got it pulled up. So I went, in ours, I went Lamar, Drake, Eckler, Wentz, and then I went Mark Ingram, and then finally came back around, and there was a bunch of guys I was bouncing off of. I went Parker and Hilton. Don't love those two. There were other guys I could pick that I felt might have been safer, but those guys have like massive upside, so that's kind of why I went there. But I don't know. And I mean, like, Anthony, when are you thinking you're going to take your first receiver? I mean, it's kind of interesting. The receivers get diminished. Their value gets diminished in this league big time, I think.
In my last mock, I went Kamara, Dak, Fournette, Galladay in the 4th, and then Stafford in the 5th. Then Woods and A.J. Green.
That's what the Galladay Stafford stack nice. Lives.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I love that stack.
It's phenomenal, actually. I like it.
If there's one I can make work, I think that might be the one, but I don't know if Galladay is going to hang around long enough.
Only didn't do it because I just kind of felt like sticking you with the Carson Wentz pick right before you went 4.
That's why
I should be in box with my friends.
I know. Well, I got you back with the tight end.
I also did a fishbowl mock where I went Dak, Brady, Godwin, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, which I'm not comfortable with the rookie in that spot, Calvin Ridley, and then Carson and Singletary. Outside, I love my first three picks, but then that running back cliff hits.
The big running back cliff hits, and then there's like a ton of receivers, and we mentioned how deep the receivers could be. I would ask you, though, and because you brought up Godwin, how worried are you about taking Panthers outside of CMC and any Tampa Bay player? Because they have a week 13 bye. That is the first playoff week if you don't have a bye in Scott Fishbowl.
I didn't even think of that.
I should have said anything.
I didn't even put that together. Wow.
Yeah. I'm off CMC, honestly.
It crushes their value. If you don't have that bye, I'm sorry. You're probably losing week 13 without Godwin, without CMC.
Also had Gronk on that team with Brady. Ooh, yeah.
There's a lot of talent.
I could steamroll 12-0 and then get bounced out of the playoffs in round
1. Well, if you steamroll 12-0, you're getting a bye. Don't care. So, I mean, that's the risk. Like, you could draft those guys and hope you crush it and get your first round bye. And then you'll just play week 14. But if you don't, you're in trouble.
I've got nowhere
to go.
It's kind
of what happened to you last year. You said you guys got hurt and you lost.
Yeah.
Who, me?
Yeah, when that year or 2 years ago?
Last year, that was my Jared Goff, Mike Evans, Cooper Kupp team where they just went off and then fell off the radar.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's almost what the bye weeks would do to you just because this league's so big, he has to start the playoffs so early.
Yeah.
And there's nothing he can do about it.
There's so many wrinkles. It's incredible.
So, it's funny. I just got Paris Campbell with my auto draft. I think, AJ, I think you're up.
I'm one more pick. I auto drafted the first set. So.
Well, hurry up.
Take a look at it. It's fine.
I'm kidding. All right. All right, man. Well, Anthony, that's all we've got. I want to appreciate say thank you for coming on. Appreciate you coming and chatting with us. It was a good conversation. Remind everybody where they can find you on Twitter and on the internet and what your website's doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. You can follow me on Twitter at The Real NFL Guru, and you can follow my show at the FF Face Off, and we're on all the top social media and podcast platforms. And I just do want to plug for 1 second, coming up, and really it seems like days away, July 11th from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m., we have the FF Face Off Mental Health Podathon. We are partnered with Hayden Hurst and the Hayden Hurst Foundation.
Nice.
Star-studded guest list, you know, representatives from NFL Network, CBS, ESPN, you know, Matthew Berry, Colleen Wolf. Really, it's packed. We are going to have giveaways. We have a GoFundMe link open right now. So, you know, if you know somebody who struggles with mental health, or if you struggle with mental health, this is you should tune in. This is going to be great.
Yeah, I've seen that, man. That's big stuff, man. Congrats to you guys for putting that together. That's awesome.
Thank
stuff.
You.
Yeah, that's phenomenal.
So I will be tuning in for that. And yeah, everybody else should too. So, all right. Well, thank you, Anthony. We will close off here, and we'll have a good night, man.
Have a good night, everybody.
All right, man. All right. I'll catch up with you in the MDF Invitational here.
All right. So that's all we've got. AJ, you got anything to add for the night, or just want to close it out with the music?
Yeah. Enjoy your weekend. Help keep the pet population down by not shooting fireworks into animals.
I heard it again. I was like, what is this? This is right.
No, well,
fireworks canceled, dude. That ain't happening.
No, bullshit. It's been happening.
Local fireworks are going to happen, yeah.
2 weeks not in Howard
County. You know, Montgomery County, where I live, fireworks are legal. I can't do it. Can't do nothing. I'm going to have to drive over to you guys and sell fireworks to my kids.
Yeah.
So we're coming over. You don't know that, but we're coming over.
Cool. I'll be here. Yeah.
Just pour me a beer.
I've got some sparklers. I'm ready to go.
Yeah. Speaking of beer, I finished.
Nice.
So, all right. Good times, man. Jeff, our producer, finish it off with the music, man.
Happy 4th. My firework display is my chalkboard.
All right.